styling and profiling. All right, it is a blessing to be here again in this pulpit. I don't preach here a lot on purpose. I don't want to torment you. I don't want you to think you've been delivered to the tormentors. If you got your Bible handy, Philippians chapter 1. And we'll see what happens. Verse 20 says this: according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so the Apostle Paul, he determined that he was going to spread the gospel if it cost him his life. The book of Philippians is more about joy than the other books that he wrote, and he was in jail when he wrote it. But he had made his mind up that in whatsoever state he was content. And he knew Romans 8:28, he wrote it. And so he was just satisfied to be where he was, doing what he was doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, I can't say being locked up in jail is would be the best scenario. But I think back, I spent 35 years preaching in this local county jail. And we figured up one time, I spent more time behind the bars than the convicts did. And I wasn't even supposed to be in there. But I'm preaching tonight on this subject, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you, if nothing else. But I'm preaching on, I am resolved. I was listening to that hymn, and I got thinking about that, and it just stirred my heart. I thought about 51 years ago when God saved me, and I got resolved. And I'm 51 years later, I'm still resolved. I haven't changed my mind a bit. I've lived an abundant life for the last 51 years. And anybody tell you serving Jesus Christ is not worth it, they ain't ever tried it. That's just all there are to it. I wouldn't trade these years for all the years that I lived like the devil. No way, no how. There's no comparison. But I looked in Webster's just for my own benefit. But to be resolved is to be determined in purpose, to be fixed, and it implies courage. And if you're going to stand for Jesus Christ, you're going to need some courage. In these last days, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, all that love God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so we haven't had much of that in this country. It goes on a lot in other countries. I don't know what the future may hold in that respect. I've had it pretty easy, and I'm thankful for that because I can stand anything but pain. But I hope tonight I can encourage you, if you haven't already, to get fully persuaded, to go ahead and determine that you're going to be resolved for Jesus Christ. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to come together. Thank you for the good singing. I thank you for the word of God. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach again. And I just pray now I can lift up Jesus Christ and exalt him, glorify him. Lord, help us all to determine afresh and anew that we're going to do something for you. And Lord, whatever you do tonight, I'm going to praise you. Should there be somebody here that's never trusted you as Savior, I beg you to convict them, draw them, show them their need of Jesus Christ this day before it's everlasting too late. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, I am resolved. Well, that's an amazing thing for me. 51 years ago, I was like most of this world. And I'm not proud of the things I did back in those days. I was an outlaw. So I heard those iron doors clank on me, and I certainly wasn't there to preach. I have experienced a lot of turmoil and trouble in my life back in those days. It was all my own doing, living like the devil. As Bobby Utley said, I was wicked as hell. And I tried everything the world had to offer. And I did. I tried it all. And 51 years ago, I was... I had a burden of sin on me that Atlas couldn't carry. I was hubcap deep to a Ferris wheel in the muck of mire of sin. And boy, was I miserable. I did everything the world said to do to be happy and enjoy life. And I was just so miserable, I was ready to just end it all. And so I did the most important decision I've ever made. I went down to this little Baptist church. And boy, I was under conviction. I mean, the Holy Spirit was wearing me out. And I slipped in the back there, looked like I'd been shot out of a cannon. And I sat in the seat right against the wall. I didn't want anybody to see me. I mean, I really didn't. I was so ashamed of the way I was living. And boy, that old preacher preached. I don't know what he preached on. To this day, I couldn't tell you. But he gave an altar call. And I didn't look around to see who it was referred to. I knew who it was. And boy, I got down there. And I knelt down, and I called on the Lord Jesus Christ. And 51 years ago, I got resolved. I'd never heard of the new birth, but I experienced it. I'd never heard about spiritual circumcision. But I know that day the Holy Spirit came into me with the sword of the Spirit and separated my soul from my flesh and sealed me, took up permanent residence. Man, he's been with me ever since. He promised he'd never leave me, never forsake me. And I found out if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I walked out that day different. That's all I can say. I was different. Man, I got off dope. I got off the bottle. I got cleaned up. And I started doing crazy things. I started preaching the gospel to people. I didn't know what I was doing, didn't have any idea. I just told the Lord that day, I am resolved. I'm going to do something for Jesus Christ. And I ain't changed my mind. Man, I went back to work and told everybody on the job, hey, I got saved. Man, I got saved. Guess what? I got saved. Called up everybody I knew on the phone, told them, hey, I got saved. The Lord saved me. I'm different. I'm changed. God did something for me 12 steps couldn't do. He did something for me the government couldn't do. He got me off dope, got me off the bottle, cleaned me up, changed me, made me something different. He did it. I didn't do it. All I could do was put my faith in Him. Man, I done broken all the commandments. What could I possibly offer Him? But I'm resolved. 51 years later, I'm still resolved. Man, my old physical body is wearing down and wearing out, and I'm still at it. I'm still in the fight. I'm still trying to do right. I don't aim to give up till the undertaker gets me. I'm going to borrow my brother's cliche. When they put me away, I'm going to have them set me up in the casket and have me waving at everybody. I think that'd be a good way to go. I'm resolved. Are you? Are you fully persuaded? Is Jesus Christ worth the effort? I mean, really. Somebody took your sins and nailed them to the cross, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Somebody that loved you so much when you had no use for Him, when you were still living like the devil, you may not have been out here running the bars and carrying on, but you were still lost in sin. And He loved you so much, He went to the cross, knowing everything in the world there was to know about you in advance, and He still went to the cross and died for you. Is He worth the effort? I'll tell you, if God's people, more than ever now today, we need to be fully persuaded. Man, we're living in a time, I mean, you got Muslims out here and carrying on in America, I mean, chanting death to America. You pardon me. You understand what that means? When they say death to America, they're talking about us. That's you. All of you in here, that's your
husbands and wives, your grandpas and grandmas, your children, your grandchildren. That's who they're talking about, death to America. Now, I can't say what I'd like to, but I got a message for the followers of Mo with a ham sandwich, Mohammed. I've got guns and I've got ammunition and I ain't going easy. But the fact is, I'm fully persuaded. I want to preach the gospel as long as I'm able. I want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I want people to know whose side I'm on. When I fall over dead, I don't care what they say about me, so long as they know whose side I was on. They may not like me, may not like my preaching, that'd be all right. I like it. I like me pretty good. But the fact is, I'm fully persuaded that I want to do something for Jesus Christ. I don't want it to be said like Demas. You know, the one thing, even if he got right, the one thing everybody remembers is Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's what he's remembered for. I don't want to remember for something like that. I may not be doing all that I could do right now, but I ain't dead yet. I'm still on this side of the dirt. But I think back 51 years ago, one of the things that got me interested in getting saved, I had some of my old dope buddies go on to be with their maker. In other words, they died and went to hell. They weren't saved. I knew that. We all knew that. We all knew we were sinners. We all knew we deserved to go to hell. We knew we was headed there. It didn't take a genius to figure that out. But I watched some of my close friends die and go to hell. And I knew I'd be just like them. I'd be picking turnips with a stepladder, man. I wasn't interested in that. But it got me to thinking. And the Holy Spirit began to work on me. And I thought, man, I ain't going to hell for nobody. I'm getting out of this mess. I've done tried everything the devil has, and it don't work. He's a liar. He'll dress it up. He'll shine it up. And when it's all said and done, you'll be feeding and slopping his hogs. Amen. And so, if I can see this, I'm going to try to preach this out loud, but I don't know if I can see it or not. My eyesight is failing me. But I'll say this. I am persuaded. In Galatians chapter 1, and you don't have to turn with me. I'm going to read a few verses and try to. But I'm no longer charmed by the world's delight. I was thinking of that hymn and how a charmer, you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and any charmers or witches or necromancers or any of those type people were to be put out of the land. They were to be banished. They were not to be a part of the society because they were wicked. They were connected to unclean spirits, and the Lord wanted them gone. But to be charmed, according to Webster's, is to subdue or control by secret influence, especially by music. You think music don't affect you? Why, man, you listen. The songs that go on in here, the sing to the glory of God, I mean, it'll stir you to do right. It'll stir you in a good way. You listen to this garbage the world puts out. Now, I don't care if it's Jelly Belly or any of the rest of them. I mean, honestly, I seen Jelly Belly's trying to sell his bar. That's good. He probably don't need a bar if he's going to live for Christ. But before I was saved, I listened to all that ungodly stuff. When the Lord saved me, I tell you what I did. I went home and piled up all my records and tapes and burned them. I got rid of them. If you don't have it, you ain't tempted with it. But I got rid of it. That stuff will affect you. You better believe it. The kind of music you listen to will set the tone for you. And if you listen to this garbage, I don't care if it's country or rock, surely you don't listen to rap. I'm with the West Texas rednecks, man. Rap is crap. And I thought, I'm going to buy me a record. I may ramble a lot, and you pardon me if I do, but I got to be out of here by 8 o'clock. So. But I bought this record. It was 20 of the great gospel hymns by 20 country singers. Now, I just got saved. I didn't know nothing. I thought, boy, that'd be good. I bought that. That was just about the next nigh on to nothing I've ever heard. I mean, that bunch are completely void of the Spirit of God. And I threw that thing into my wood stove. I got rid of that. But I am persuaded that I'm going to do something for Jesus Christ. And I may not be able to do all that I used to do, but I'm still able. And so I'm resolved to do something for Him. Galatians chapter 1, he says this, verse 3, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Boy, what a blessing. We've been delivered from the world. We don't have to partake of all that garbage. We don't have to. You got a choice to make. You can resolve that I'm going to put that junk away. I'm going to quit listening to it. You won't die, I promise. If you get rid of your country and Western and rock music, you won't have a heart attack. That one old gal did. She said she did. I don't know what her name was, but my land, it was on. I was in a restaurant, and this broad was, "If I did that, I'd have a heart attack." And then she'd go, "What a golly." I said, "Man, you're giving me a heart attack. That's supposed to be music? I don't need all that garbage." No, sir, you don't either. And so, you and I have to decide whose side we're on. Are you fully persuaded? If you're not, you can be. You should be. You should just make your mind up, I'm going to do something for Jesus Christ. I don't know what that may involve. Man, when I bowed my knee and trusted Christ, I made my mind up, I'm resolved, I'm going to do something. I had no idea He'd call me to preach. That wasn't anything was ever in my background. I didn't know preachers, didn't know anything about preaching. Still don't know much about it. What I've learned over the years, I've learned from preaching. I've been preaching in the street as long as I've been saved. I just preach, man, that's all. You study the Word, you memorize it, and you preach it. And that's what I've been doing all these years. It works. But I resolved to do something for Him. When they'd sing that old hymn at the invitation time, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," boy, I'd beg, "Lord, don't pass me by. Do something with me. I want You to do something with me." Anybody that loved me like He loved me, how in the world could I not do something for Him? I'm resolved. I am resolved. I'm no longer blinded by the devil. I mean, the god of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. We know that. And the Scripture says, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they be converted." Wouldn't that be something? They hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then they believe it, and the Lord saves them. Isn't that something? That's so simple, you'd think anybody would get saved. Religion complicates it. Man complicates it. You hear these guys all the time throwing off on easy believism. I've never heard any of them define it from Scripture yet. I guess they believe in hard believism. I like that bumper sticker that Terry Bowles, somebody had it. He said the difference between easy believism and hard believism is the thickness of your skull. But I'm no longer charmed by the world's delight. I'm no longer blinded by the god of this world and his annex. I was thinking about a fellow named Bartimaeus sitting by the highway side begging. Boy, I'll tell you, that picture's unsafe. That picture's me. I was blind to the truth, and I was begging for something from the world, and they don't care. They'll use you up and spit you out. And then I heard about Jesus. And Boy, I'll tell you, I had to meet him. The things I heard about him were true. How he's still in the life-changing business. He's still saving sinners. Isn't that amazing? Any sinner. You know, this nonsense they put out about the elect. You got to be a candidate to get elected. And that's true for anybody. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is still in the life-changing business. And Bartimaeus, he wouldn't shut up. And he cast away the rags of his own righteousness, and he came to Jesus, and by faith in him, he received his sight. And I'll tell you what, when I gave up on myself, realizing it wasn't anything I could do, I mean, I was a church member, believe it or not. I wasn't saved, but I was a church member. And I gave up on myself. I just came and I said, Lord, there ain't nothing I can do. If you don't save me, I ain't going to be saved. That's all there are to it. I can't do it myself. There's nobody here that can do it. Everything depends on him. He didn't come to help us get saved. He came to save us. And if you're trying to help him, you're in trouble. But like Bartimaeus, I got my spiritual eyes open. And man, I'll tell you, I've had a full look for the last 51 years. And one of these days, and maybe it'll be today, I don't know, but that trumpet's going to sound. And when it does, man, I'm going to be kicking up gold dust. No more wore out physical body. I'm going to get me a brand new one. That's what I've been holding out for. Everybody says you need your knees replaced. I said, man, the rapture happens, I'm going to get them replaced. I'm going to have me a time. Some of y'all ain't never shouted. You'll change. I guarantee you there'll be some shouting. Well, I want to say also, I'm no longer lingering in the dens of sin. He said, come out from among them and be separate. Well, the will of God is our sanctification. He expects us to be separate from this world. And he won the victory on Calvary. You and I, we just enjoy that part of it. It's available. I don't have to do anything illegal, immoral, or fattening. I don't have to. I mean, it's pretty evident that the fattening part, I love ice cream. But I don't have to do any of that stuff to enjoy life. I've got an abundant life. Jesus Christ is still providing for sinners. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, the song says, these have allured my sight. And when I got resolved, I made my mind up. I'm looking a little higher. This world's going down. It's going to burn like a torch. All this mess is going to be fried and burnt, and that'll be the end of that. You put all your marbles in this basket, you're going to lose them all. But you lay some treasure up in heaven, man, there'll be some rejoicing. Hopefully, if I ever get to it, and I might not, but I'm no longer satisfied to slap the devil's hogs. I got resolved. I went to the far country. I wound up slopping the hogs. And I got saved. And I got out of it. I came to myself and I went to my Father's house. And I'll tell you, it works. It works for any sinner. Well, I want to say secondly, that was the first point. I want to say secondly, I'm no longer following cunningly devised fables. Now, Simon Peter said they hadn't did that in the context of the Mount of Transfiguration, the second coming of Christ. He said, we didn't follow no cunningly devised fables. Well, I'm no longer following them evil. I was told that I came from a monkey. A fairy tale for grown-ups is what evolution is. Now, I didn't come from no monkey. Some of our relatives did hang by their neck, but none of them hung by their tail. That's a fact. I knew my mom, I knew my dad, none of them were monkeys. Wouldn't it be something if he had to go down to the zoo for Mother's Day and try to find Mama? Well, in 6,000 years of human history, there ain't one instance of a monkey giving birth to a human. And the idea that we evolved from somewhere is just a fairy tale for grown-ups. It's just an outright lie. It's a cunningly devised fable. And I no longer give in to that nonsense. I learned better when the Lord saved me and I began to read this book. But also, I do not have a myth for a Bible. I'm not looking for some original that doesn't exist. Luke chapter 4, when Jesus Christ went into the synagogue and opened up Isaiah and began to read, he didn't have an original. He had scripture, but it was a copy. He didn't have an original. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I've got the living words of the living God right here in front of me in this King James Bible. I know that to be true. I've spent the last 51 years researching the subject. I'm not a smart man. I'm like Forrest Gump. But I can read. And the Holy Spirit of God will enlighten me. And I've bought books. I've got bookshelves full of books on the subject. I don't have any doubts this King James Bible is the Word of God. I believe that since I got saved. The Spirit of God revealed that to me. And I ran with it. But I'm also absolutely convinced that we don't have a mummy for a Savior. How do you think about it? All the founders of this world's religions are dead and buried. But one. You go over to Medina, old Muhammad, what's left of him is in a hole in the ground over there. I mean, Buddha, the popes all die and stay dead. But one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you destroy this temple, and he said, in 3 days I'll raise it up. And when those women went down to that tomb on that first day of the week, the stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. Now, they didn't need to roll that stone away for him to get out. He was already gone. Man, when the disciples were all hiding out in the upper room for fear of the Jews, he just appeared in the middle of them. Nobody opened the door, window, or anything else. He could pass through solid objects. He had a literal body, but it was spirit. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're going to be just like him in the resurrection. I'm going to get a body just like that. My soul, you talk about that. That ought to make a Presbyterian shout. Well, they're Calvinists, though, so I could, they probably can't shout. Cunningly devised fables. John Calvin taught one. The 5 points. We were preaching out in the street over in Gatlinburg, and this fellow come up and said he was a 5-point Calvinist. And I said, well, nobody in the Old Testament was born again. They were born dead trespasses, passes, and sins, and they died that way. But they were able to do what God told them to do, to either be right or wrong. And Ezra 7:13 says they had a free will. I don't care what Calvin said. I've got his Institutes sitting on my shelf at the house. I know what he taught. I know what Arthur Pink taught and Burkhoff and all the rest of them. But I just told that fellow plain, the fact that they had a free will and they weren't born again proves they could have got right if they would have got right. And he just looked at me like he'd swallowed some persimmon sideways. But Calvin taught a lot of baloney. Oscar Meyer never packaged it any better. Cunningly devised fables. There's plenty of them. That's why you need to be a Bible student. You need to read your Bible. You need to know what it says. You need to be able to give every man an answer when they ask you of the hope that lieth within you. This post-millennial, non-millennial theology, it's a cunningly devised fable. The amillennial mess, the Apostle Paul corrected it, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. He tells us that Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were teaching a false doctrine. It's called amillennialism today.
They were teaching the resurrection was past already. It was spiritual. When you got saved, that's the resurrection. And Paul, he corrected that false teaching. And he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And Jesus Christ himself corrected the post-millennial when Martha came to him and he said, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And to prove the point, he walks out and a man been dead for 4 days and declares, Lazarus, come forth. And that fella got up and come out of there. Absolutely. Those are false teachings. I was listening to a guy. He's trying to be a Bible teacher. He's supposed to be a country singer. And he always advertises his own special brand of whiskey. His name is John Rich. I guess y'all, you probably know who he is. I've never listened to the guy. But he's declared that some fellow named John Darby has come up with this pre-tribulation rapture stuff. And he influenced Scofield. That's why he put it in his study Bible. And I mean, it's just a height of stupidity is what it is. And I thought, well, I guess if you can't make records, just sell whiskey and try to be a Bible student. But he's absolutely wrong to think that John Darby was the first fellow. You can go all the way back to the 6th century and find printed sermons about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and Daniel's 70th week and the whole works. But it wouldn't matter. I mean, it's in the Bible. And then the one that really shocked me, I was listening to this guy named Kent Hovind. Now, he don't believe in the gap. He calls it the gap theory, but it's a gap fact. But he's very intelligent, and he's got a lot of good information about evolution and creation. So I'm not saying everything he says is bad. But he said, when I got saved, got in, I was in an independent, premillennial, Bible-believing Baptist church, and some of these guys like John R. Rice, and he said they taught me that, but he said, I have learned that it's a lie. And it just shocked me coming from him. I thought he was intelligent. But it goes to prove great men are not always wise. And when he said that, he said, now, in Matthew 24, and I just turned him off. You couldn't find a church in Matthew 24 with a crowbar and a flashlight. Cunningly devised fables. But the devil, he'll twist and he'll try any way in the world to foul you up. Get you off on some false theology and get you running with that and you wind up who knows where. But following the living Savior is where I want to be. He's alive, and he's still in the life-changing business. Now, I want to say thirdly, I'm resolved. Now, who will go with me? That's what the song says. Isaiah, he heard God say, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Is that you tonight? Are you fully persuaded? Now, I'm not hardly done. I'm getting there, though. You pardon me. I realize I'm rambling a lot, but I've got a good reason. But I'll say this. I'm resolved because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, I stated a few facts already, but what he's done for me personally, how could I not do something for him? How could I not resolve to serve him? I mean, I look back. Man, I had a rough upbringing. My daddy was a drunkard. He used to get his shotgun out and shoot at us.
I learned to play football, dodging trees and jumping fences and round rocks and up and down hills with buckshot flying around. And I thought that was what made a man, being tough and, you know, carrying on. So when I hit 12 years old, I decided it was time for me to start. And it went downhill from there. But when I met Jesus Christ, and I trusted him, and he saved me, I resolved, because of what he did at Calvary, I must follow him. He bore our sins on his own body on the tree. He became sin, suffered the wrath of God in our place. His soul went to hell. And then he got out, got up from the dead, and he made it all simple. When he declared on the cross, "It's finished," brother, it's finished. You won't come in contact with the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit in the city water system. And you won't come in contact with the physical blood and body of Christ in the Mass. I mean, eating a cookie and drinking a shot of vino won't put you into Christ. By faith is how it gets in. This book says, "By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I'll tell you, I got in freely. If it would have cost me anything, I couldn't have got in. I was broke, didn't have it, done broke all the commandments. What could I possibly offer? I am resolved because of the cross of Christ. Christ never quit. He went all the way to the cross. He was in such agony in the garden that he sweat blood, but he never quit. Bob Jones Sr. says, "Finish the job." Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Just think of the damage that would be done if you did. The Apostle Paul, our example, he never quit. I mean, Christ's our example. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ." Think about that. He never quit. He went to the chopping block and he said, "I fought a good fight and I finished my course. I've kept the faith." He never quit. Don't throw in the towel, man. We're too close to home to give up now. "I am resolved because of a great cloud of witnesses I find in the Scripture." But also, a great cloud of witnesses that stretch 2,000 years. Man, I've read all kinds of books. I've got all kinds of books on my shelf about martyrs. I was reading about a 16-year-old boy. They held him by the feet out over this precipice. And they said, "If you don't deny Christ, we'll drop you." And he refused to deny, and they dropped him. He's just 16 years old. You read in about people who, rather than deny Christ, they were stuffed into animal skins with poisonous vipers, sewn up and thrown in the river. I remember one lady who, they told her that if her husband would deny Christ, they'd let him live. And she folded her apron up like this and said, "I'd rather see his head in my apron than deny Christ." But you got it going on over in Africa right now. There's people that are giving their life rather than deny Christ. How could I quit when I've got it this easy? I mean, I can preach in the street. I can pass out tracts. I can do whatever. I don't have to worry about somebody coming and jailing me or chopping my head off. I just saw over in Iran where they lined up some guys that were Christians and refused to deny Christ, and they killed all of them. That just happened. That's like a week or two ago. How could I throw in the towel and quit when all these people gave so much? I am resolved because of the influence on other people. After 51 years of being saved, if I throwed in the towel, what would you think of me?
And I look around this building, this congregation. I've been here for several years now. I've seen a whole lot of you guys grow up right here. But how could I quit? I mean, I guarantee you, if any of y'all were to quit, it would affect some folks. You have influence on other people. The Apostle Paul, he was worried about being a castaway from the ministry after he'd preached to other people. I don't want that to be said of me. I mean, there's people that I know that, I mean, I preach on the radio. First time I did was 48 years ago, and I'm still on there. And there are people that listen to me on the radio that I've never met. I can't imagine what would happen to them if I just quit, throwed in the towel and said, I'm done. I ain't preaching no more. I'm going to do something else. You've got influence on other people, where you work, whether it's at school, wherever it's at. If people know you're saved, you have influence on them. And if you throw in the towel, if you go along with their dirty jokes, if you go along with their wickedness, you're influencing them the wrong way. I was working second shift out here at the trailer factory, and this young man, these guys, all of them was bad to cuss and handle filthy language and cuss God. And guy came by me with this GD this and GD that, and I picked up this great big ball peen hammer, and I said, man, you don't work on this station, you get out of here or I'm going to knock your brains out. He left. He thought I was serious. I don't know if I'd really hit him or not, but... But I look around. Here's my pastor. I've known him for many, many years. I couldn't face him if I were to throw in the towel. I mean, there's Jack Butch, him and Judd and Donnie. We all worked together at that trailer factory. If I gave up and throw it in the towel, I mean, how could I face him? These young men, I mean, look at J.D. here. He's been out in the street with us, been to D.C. how many times? I mean, I've watched Dilbert's family grow up here, and Dave, and my goodness, it's just amazing. How could I quit? I mean, ain't much to me. I'm a plain fella. I'm just an old sinner that God saved. But if I throw it in the towel, I guarantee you it would affect some folks. I don't want that to happen. We're too close to home to give up now. I am resolved. Who will go with me? Well, I'm resolved because if I did quit, I'd give the enemies of God an occasion to blaspheme. I mean, that's what David did. I don't want that said of me. He was a great man, but boy, great men are not always wise. I am resolved because of the condition of this lost world. I think back when I was lost and nobody cared for me. I was on a softball team, and this guy, he was a Calvinist. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know what a Calvinist was. But not one time did he ever witness to me or try to. And he knew how I was living. It wasn't no secret. And as soon as I got saved, this guy showed up and began to talk about predestination and election. And I thought, now here's a guy that didn't care a thing about my soul when I was lost. Now all of a sudden I'm important. Ain't that a hoot? Well, I made my mind up when God saved me, I was going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. The only time I've been back to jail was to preach. The only time I've been back in a beer joint was to preach. And it's been my privilege to go in some of these beer joints and just preach. And I mean, the Lord just opened the door and the thing just, I mean, it's just amazing. God did it. I'm no brave soul, but I thought, man, I did enough to damn these people out here carrying on like a fool. I need to do something, try to help them. So I started preaching in the street. I didn't know that's what I was doing. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to do that. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to talk to people about their soul. I mean, it just seemed to me like that's natural, kind of like breathing. I mean, how can you not tell somebody?
Man, there's people are lost and headed for hell. If you don't tell them, who's going to? I'm resolved. Are you? I hope you are. And if you're not, you can get started right now. But I'll tell you, man, time is short. The Lord said, if I go away, I will come again. I wouldn't hazard to set a date, but I guarantee you with the way the shape this world's in, the way things are headed, it could be any moment. But if he don't come, I'm certain the undertaker will get us. I'm 74 years old now. I'm an old geezer. Every time I take my grandson to Taco Bell. He loves Taco Bell. I always say, do I get old geezer's discount? They always give it to me. Hey, I like it. If you're a veteran, go to Popeye's Fried Chicken. You'll get the best veteran's discount anywhere in the world. That's a fact. Me and my grandson stopped over there and got a $14 discount on our order. Woo! Hey, Baptist preachers love chicken, man. You know that. I'm resolved because of the call of God. How could I dishonor my Savior, the one that saved me, and commissioned me? If you're saved, you're commissioned to be a witness. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And if you're not actively trying to win souls, you're not doing what you're expected to do. And you don't have to get up here and preach the gospel like the pastor does, but you should be a witness. You can tell people what God did for you. That's what I did. Now I'm about done. When the Lord saved me, I had no clue. First person to ever really witness to me was Donald Cook. We were on a job in the coal mines, and the first thing he said to me when I met him was, hey, buddy, are you saved? And it shook me up, boy. And I knew if he'd asked me that, he'd go further, so I lied to him and said, yeah. But when I got saved, man, we became good friends. And that first day back after I got saved, I had this old boy. We were at lunchtime. We were sitting down there, and I got to telling him how I got saved and how the Lord changed my life. And that old boy was down on his knees, and tears was washing that coal dust off his face. And he said, well, how do you get saved? And I said, well, man, you just get saved. I didn't know what to do. I just got saved myself. I'd never read a Bible. But Donald Cook came down there and opened up a little New Testament and walked that boy through that and led him to Christ. And I just watched how he did it, memorized those scriptures. I said, I can do that. And so I started. I got me a New Testament, and I marked those scriptures. Got me a pocket full of gospel tracts. First thing, I was coming in from work, and the old white wing beer joint down there, I stopped and went in. The lady asked me what I wanted, and I said, it ain't what I want from you, it's what I can give you. And I laid down a gospel tract, and she started crying. Shook me up. I thought, golly, I don't know what's happening here. And she said, I know I shouldn't be working here. I need to get right with God. Boy, hallelujah. But you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what can happen if you would just stick your neck out a little bit. A missionary said one time, get out on the limb, that's where the fruit's at. Now somebody may saw it off behind you, but the Indians had a saying, walk 2 miles in a man's moccasins before you judge him. And the reason was, you'll be 2 miles away when you judge him, he can't put the fist to you. Fully persuaded. Are you? Will you bow your heads? Now I'm done. I realize this had been no fantastic message. Probably not move you to do anything, but want to go home and eat a snack. But you know if the Lord said anything to you or not.
Now I'm going to pray, and after I do, I'm going to ask you to stand, and then if you need to come to the altar, you come. And if not, then that's fine. We'll just go home.